Assassins. They're skillfully trained artists of murder. Or lame liberal leftists if we're talking assassins of character, but we're not. We're talking about the likes of the Iceman Richard Kolinsky, Robert Drake, aka Marvel's the Iceman, Jack Frost, a literal Iceman, or clowns steering cars with their erection. These are men and women at the top of their craft, and that craft being murder for money, with a hint of forensic science and practicing emotions in mirrors. But what happens when a hitman ends up not only being your confidant, but also a dirty, good-for-nothing cop and a vile cell stalker? Well, it's probably a lie by the previously mentioned lame liberals and their leftist news media, of course. Duh. Hey, listeners, I'm so sorry. The local police force is forcing me to say this. If I don't, they'll tell me how WandaVision ends, and I'm only 2 episodes in. Luckily, Franklin, due to being a ghost, was able to covertly turn on Rambo Last Blood to distract them, and cops love his murder first, question never way of life. So, let me tell you the truth while Rambo's murdering. If in this situation, you hope for the best, stand strong, and maybe console your friend who was stalked instead of discussing how hot she is or could be if she just smiled more. But let me check in on the cops. Oh boy. Rambo is a long movie, so I think we're good. My name is James.
I'm Nicole.
And this is Mostly Speaking Sentai. Oh, yes, guys. I'm in the goddamn ocean, the ocean of misery, and oh, I'll be here forever because the ocean scares me. You ever watch Finding Nemo and just say, holy shit? I need to do a whole gallon of CBD. Why don't they sell that shit in the gallons? It would be fun if you just like morning coffee, Joe. But instead, it's that CBD smoothness going down your throat. And speaking of people with throats, oh my God, she has one like most people. It's my queen, my bride, maybe to be,
oh my God, we don't know.
Please let us give Nicole a better nickname.
When I said stop calling me that, I just mean like drop the entire bride thing.
I'll drop my panties for you. Ooh, 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 I'm loving you. It's Nicole the Bricks Jakis.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm amped up on coffee and life.
Clearly.
Being scared to exist in this world.
What?
Yeah. Also, actually, a good thing happened to me this week. Your boy's penis grew.
Oh my God.
I haven't measured it in a long time. And then I was like, wow, today it looks particularly lengthy. And I measured it. I'm up a quarter inch.
Proud partner of the Tokusatsu Network.
Yes, they support deedle positivity. There we go. I couldn't think of what I would say. And I'm body positive now, Nicole. I flipped a 360 and then went back 180.
Okay.
Because a 360 would just be like, hey, we're back to where we started. Okay. Smoking weed. That's a crazy DK song that was never released.
Okay.
Speaking of,
our guest seems to like weed jokes, so apparently that's what this episode
Blaze
is going to be.
420. I am very nervous because I think our guest is going to bring in people who have never listened to us, and they might be like, wow, this is a fever dream of an hour and 10 minutes. And that's what we aim to be, you fuck boys. Laugh louder. Don't cover your mouth. We want to hear the laughter. Oh, no stone faces here. But we got a stoned face up in here. Let's introduce our guest. Her name may be Penny, but she's a goddamn million bucks. You can listen to her album right now, wherever friggin' music is found. Maybe Sendspace, but don't go there. She's not gonna see a dime from that shit. It's called Hibernate. And today we have HB the Grizzly, Holly Penny.
Hey everybody, how's everyone doing today? It's nice to see your guys' face. It's nice to finally meet Nicole.
Hi.
Yeah, because we went to the same high school, the same school, but when did you leave Muskegon?
around 2000, I would say 2007.
Okay. Were you even, you were in high school then, right?
No.
Okay. Never mind. Nicole is the ripe age of 33 years old.
Don't say ripe.
Well, you're ripening, my queen.
Ew.
The dirty 30s.
I hate it.
It's when you're most ovulating. I read a blog.
So you're saying that, like, instead of me being younger than high school age,
yeah,
that I'm older than high school,
yes,
age. That's the bit.
Yeah, because
okay.
If you're 33, you wouldn't have been in high school at
yeah.
the same time Holly was.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe I'm younger than both of y'all. I'm 27.
No, Nicole's 26.
Oh.
Or 33, I mean, dang it.
Ha.
The ripening age of 26 in 6 years, 7 years, baby, you'll be ripe.
What?
Because then you'll be 33.
Okay.
The Jesus year. That's when Jesus died. Did you know that?
33 years old.
Yeah.
If I make it past 33, I guess the Jews aren't after me, so I'm good.
Dark.
It might be dark, but Jesus brings the light.
Ooh, nice.
It's only funny because I'm a Jew.
Oh, yeah. She is allowed to say this stuff, guys.
Yeah,
that's
Hebrew,
why I didn't
so.
Go, oh, no.
Yes, it's only okay because I'm Hebrew.
Dude, my coworker would say stuff and I'm like, no. And she's like, it's fine. I'm Jewish. I'm like, still no.
Do you think Mickey Mouse is a stand-in for Jesus Christ in the Kingdom Hearts games?
What?
Okay, Holly, you do music.
Yes.
We'll throw a song of yours at the end. I'll ask you after the podcast which one you would like that to be. But you are in this horrorcore genre, this underground hardcore stuff. And like me, you probably know sometimes that gets stagnant. A lot of the same imagery and topics and sometimes rhymes keep going in. It's usually, oh,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
murdering
yeah.
in the woods at a summer camp or
yeah.
in the church steeple. I
yeah.
commit evil as I am murdering people. Wow, so many people have said those three lines. So
yes. Because they're gold, baby.
They're not gold. Well, okay, sometimes, hey, you might have gold, everything, but sometimes I want them platinum records, baby.
They're trying to put their own twist on it.
They're not. They all sound like, nah, yeah, dog, evil. And it's like, fucking use your own voice. This is coming from someone who did
this
rap
is
like
just,
that.
Yeah, this is just you criticizing yourself.
Yes. Grow up is what I'm saying. So, we're going to pitch you some ideas. Just random things, and we want to know how you would horrorcore-fy them. Horrify them. I'm horrified.
To the core.
Ooh.
To the core.
So.
Yeah. I'm about it. Shoot me some ideas.
This is creative writing to a T. Let me bring these up right now. Okay. First up, Blockbuster reopens. They say, hey, we're making a comeback. The rental store business is back and booming, and we are going to your hometown. That's the first flagship location. Turn that into horrorcore.
Well, everyone in my town will be like all against any type of media or social interaction. That will turn the people into nut jobs. So it'll be almost like a town that's filled with people like Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
All those kinds of people. So they're going to be dark. Everyone that's in my town is going to be dark. They're against any type of social media. They're also very old school, and they don't believe in the new age lifestyle. So when someone comes in to their town, try and offer this type of service, they're all against it. So the town plots against this businessman that's putting together Blockbuster. So he'll be at the Blockbuster one night, just closing up the store, and the town will come in wearing masks, and you won't know who's who because they're all dressed up, and the town burns the Blockbuster with him in it.
And then maybe it ends with popcorn popping because it's burning, and they had a big old bags of popcorn.
Sure.
Yes, yeah, so you get snacks, too, at the end of your show. So.
Hell yeah. All right, Nicole, do you have any scenarios to pitch?
Nope.
Okay, then I'll keep going. Your knee keeps making a creaky noise. Turn that into horrorcore.
I mean, that's my life, so... Both of my knees be cracking.
Just a song about your life.
It is.
Turn it into an allegory of becoming old, and maybe, I don't know, you're like, wow, serial killing is a young man's sport.
Or it's like a scary person, and you know they're coming because you can hear the creaky knees.
Because you hear the crack.
Okay.
I was about to say that, the night creaker.
All right. This is like a Edgar Allan Poe-esque thing. Yeah. I'm scared.
The night creaker.
There's going to be a lot of
tales
commas.
To tell in the dark.
Tales to... Yes. So you mean scary stories to tell in the dark?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, all right. Tales to tell in the dark could be, you know, your budget Big Lots version that your mom bought you.
Wow, rude.
She said, we got scary stories to tell at the dark at home.
Got it.
Yeah, I would totally turn that into a story where... The person who's got creaky knees is afraid of seeing their fate. They're afraid of getting old. So they become rebellious and they try to kill off all the old people because they're just angry about being older and aging. So older people at the bus stop at night waiting for the bus to come, they'll hear creaking coming up beside them. They know that they can't outrun this person because they're a little bit old themselves. But they always know when they're coming because... They're creeping up behind you and you can hear their knees crack.
Hell yeah.
That would actually be scary.
Yeah,
you just hear a bunch of bones cracking.
Horrorcore doesn't have a lot of elder abuse representation, so this is good.
It is a good one. And you could hear the creak in the night, and they only hear it once a week. The creak only comes out once a week. And it only will happen in one certain area. So... The whole neighborhood would have to put on a whole high alert for this person, put out posters, everything, because it's such a serial killer. It's a serial killer that only comes around every once in a while and changes up their motive every time. They'll probably attack an old person from behind. They can attack an old person by trying to be friends with them and then killing them off that way.
Going into
a nursing home and pretending they're a nurse. All these ideas are just formulating in my mind for like certain episodes of something like this, like comic strips. And the creaker, the night creaker, has got to be a woman because only women are that emotional that they're going to take their problems out on another.
Especially like with the issue of aging too.
Yes. Women don't like getting old. And I know this for a fact because I'm a beautician and I deal with that all the time. Women hate looking old, and it would have to be a woman that's called the night creaker for
hell
sure.
Yeah. And becoming friends with old people is so easy because one, they're so trusting, and two, their children are never around, their grandkids
they're
never
lonely.
Call
yes
they're desperate,
they're vulnerable, they're vulnerable,
they're thirsty
for interaction. Yes.
And dick.
And dick, you could also persuade an old person that way. You're right.
You swing that wang in front of their face and they're like, yaga yow.
You bend down all sexy and your knees creak.
Ooh.
That's when you know.
Oh, and then like it's a teeth situation. You have anal dentata and they start creeping up towards your beehole and then you bite them off.
Yes. Sounds like my typical Sunday.
All right. Hell yeah. Let's we got a couple more. All right.
Just do like one more. Pick the best one or the worst one.
This one I think's the best one. You stub your toe. Uh-oh. But look on the bright side. At least you didn't snub the crow, i.e. you weren't the 1995 Academy Awards.
What?
I was a little puzzled as fuck by that one.
Okay, you stub your toe. Ow.
Okay.
But you're looking on the bright side. At least you aren't the Academy Awards in 1995, which would have snubbed the crow with
the movie.
Yes, with Brandon Lee in it. So at least on the bright side, you're not in that position in life. Turn that into horrorcore. You told me to pick the best and the worst one, I think.
That's, like, too specific.
I'm figuring it out, but my brain's let my brain work it out.
Sometimes when you write yourself into a corner, it's good.
You don't have to put me in a corner here. Let me figure it out. So at least you have a toe, but hey, you have a, you're going to be limping for a little bit afterwards. This is going to make you angry. It's going to make you really angry because you're not going to be able to walk right for a while because your foot hurts. How about the toe snatcher? Someone that wakes, that cuts your toes off while you're sleeping.
Oh, no, thank you.
Or maybe the person who stubbed their toe is the person who played the crow.
Well, famously.
Ooh. And they're out killing the people that didn't give them an Oscar.
Plot twist.
This is also, there's many layers on this because I believe I've never seen The Crow, but I've seen some retrospectives. I think he dies and then comes back to life. Have you seen The Crow?
Yes, I've seen the first one.
Okay, so I think, or maybe his wife gets murdered and it's a The Punisher type situation. But
I think you mean John Wick.
No.
He does lose his girlfriend in the first movie, and that's why he came back. It's for the vengeance to get back at those people that killed his woman on Devil's Night.
Okay.
So we could even base it off of something that's like Devil's Night related.
All right.
Yeah.
Because all havoc starts on Devil's Night. So.
Also, Brandon Lee famously died during the making of The Crow.
Which is why it would be so spooky.
Yeah,
it is really spooky.
Many layers of this. So it's ICP's 12 meets the plot of Crow with a dash of The Punisher and a dash of John Wick.
And a dash of that one bad movie that I was forced to watch that I think is also a comic book, but I can't remember the name of it.
Which what? I forced you to watch?
No.
Oh, so who forced you?
My family. They were like, we're going to go watch this movie. And I was like, this is stupid. And then we watched it and it was stupid.
Need for Speed?
No. I don't remember.
Ghost
That's
Town?
That's going to drive me fucking crazy.
Is it Ghost Town?
No.
That's based off a comic?
Yeah, but it's about like a girl falling in love with Steve Buscemi.
Ooh, ew.
No, Steve Buscemi back in the day was...
That's a horror story on its own.
It's not good. Yeah, it's gross and it's creepy.
Steve Buscemi in his younger days was a fucking hottie.
It's that like cliche.
Yes, look it up. Look it up.
Of like outsider indie young women like falling in love with old men who are like into vinyl records.
Hey.
It's creepy.
I did the opposite of that.
From Geezer to Grave.
Was it Tenchi Muyo the movie? That's based on a comic.
Yes.
All right, we found out.
My entire family wanted to see.
They were like,
Tenchi Muyo the movie.
We hear Tenchi gets buck ass naked, and it made James horny as a child.
Wow.
It was a horny movie. We were like, how can a child
and
rent this?
You were a horny child.
I was. Because never mind. I don't want to get dark. I was about to bleep out the thing that we always bleep out in this show.
The word cum?
No. That I was as a child.
Yeah.
Bro, get on the listeners level. They know what just got bleeped out.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I was a horny child.
Maybe. Probably.
That was like, look at my do you want to
Yeah.
In a basement, no less. Yeah. Unfinished. Why couldn't my parents have finished that basement? Then at least my nightmares, I could have been on a nice shag rug instead of a child on a cold basement floor.
Why is it always a basement?
I don't know.
Yeah. Why is it always a basement?
Because that's where my trauma stems from. At least from me. For me.
You go downstairs to do the laundry, you start having, like, triggers.
No,
that's awful.
Whenever I start thinking of Grand Rapids, that starts putting up some red flags.
You get a boner every time you do laundry.
Oh my, no, Nicole, this is a serious issue.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to like make it light.
I can make it light.
Okay.
You can't. So every time I go do laundry, I get a boner now. stole your joke, Nicole.
I mean, yeah, because you'll also edit, so you could just...
No, it's in
just
there.
Just edit out where I said it.
No, it gets left in. It's funnier if I just steal the
right,
joke from
okay.
you and they know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, then I would have to edit this out.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I'm loose with the
Too
edits
much
now.
Work.
Yeah. But let's get into the goddamn subject of this show. Mostly speaking Sentai. You guys barely talk about Sentai. Fuck you.
Who says that?
I think a few people have. Oh, Tyler Wright for sure has said, like, you guys, this is a Sentai show. Why don't you just, like, get right into it? And it's like,
I feel like he would love that we barely talk about Sentai.
Yeah, I don't know. He's confusing.
Loves us.
Also, Tyler Berger, BergQuest. He complained about like talking about Beyblade. He's like, this is a 2-hour long show and you barely talk about Beyblade.
Well, that makes sense. I agree with that.
No. Yeah. No, actually, you would want. Oh, wait. It makes sense that I don't talk about Beyblade because you hate it so much.
Okay. Sure.
This is an exclusive. When that gets switched over to, it's not going to be Metabots now. I think it's going to be Powerpuff Girls Z. You motherfuckers are going to be running up saying, hey, someone's smoking over there. Going to be running up to me saying, oh, I want to be on a guest of the show. And I'll be like, you fuckers.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Then I'll verbally smack all of you. But let's get into today's episode. We watched from Time Ranger episode case file, I should say, 34 Assassins.
Yeah.
But before we get into the thick of things, Holly, what's your experience with Power Rangers or Super Sentai?
Okay, so when I was watching Super Sentai, I noticed that there was a lot more action, a lot more description as well, in more real life situations. I mean, I know Power Rangers is a little bit more of the diluted version of this because Power Rangers is like the spinoff of this show, you said. And from growing up watching Power Rangers after school, that was one of my favorite shows to watch. They kind of, you know, they took the idea of this show and then they created it into a more child-friendly show because I see that with the show that I just watched that the originality that they have, they experience love, obsession. From the last episode that I just watched, obsession is a huge one with Abel. Abel would not let Yuri go. He was just obsessed with her. And they also show like guns and, you know, more violence in this. Now, this is for people that like more action with the whole idea of Power Rangers. This is going to give you a lot more substance to watch. I mean, once I started the episode, I know it was a little bit lower grade film, but I mean, I was dragged right into the show. It was definitely like when it was over with, I'm like, that's it. I want to watch more, you know? So it definitely, for people that want that fulfillment of action, drama, and real life situations, this is a good show for them because it does kind of represent, you know, real life stuff, that real life horror, for instance. Like real life horror is actually a lot more scary than something like a horror movie because it's all played out. But losing a loved one or having a crazy ex-boyfriend or, you know, dealing with your mother or someone dying, now those things all kind of go in with real life horror. And this show definitely depicts real life horror, things that people would actually be worried about on their every day to day, because even though they wear suits and they fight, the things that they're coming across, like assassination groups, all those things are real. This stuff is real stuff. And we just, you know, we're in that whole world where we don't think that all these things actually happen, but it does. All the detectives going crook. I mean, there's a bunch of detectives that are crooked and police officers that are crooked. And that was in the last episode. Abel was a detective and then he just turned bad so he could pay his bills. I mean, real life horror. How many times have people have done something bad in order to pay their bills, you know?
Yeah. And I think he turned bad just so then, because he says, like, one of the best lines in this is, I stopped following you and had you start following me. Like, that's why he was like, oh, I'll just become a criminal to make ends meet as well, because then
that's how obsessed he was.
Yeah. But this series, Time Ranger, deals with time travel, and we ask everyone, every single episode. If you could go back in time, you do not need to worry about murdering anyone. Murder is off the table. So, because most people would say, you have to kill fascists. What would you do with a time travel?
It definitely would be something good. Like, all the knowledge that I know and everything that, I mean, if I were to go back in time, I'd have to have some type of shield of protection because of the fact that people would be so uneasy at the fact that a woman knows as much as I know. I know how to heal without, you know, invasive medical issue. You know, like, I am just a healer. I would go back in time and help people that were sick from the Black Plague and, you know, just simple, show them what penicillin is and stuff. You know, I'd go back and help people back in time. But see, that could also cause disruption because people are so set in their Bible and in their ways back then that they believe that God would cure them. Science back then was considered witchcraft. So if I were to go back in time, I know it would cause a lot of problems for people, but I would also try to help people as much as I can. Those that trust me, that is, you know, but if I were to have that ability, that's what I would do. I would go back, save people from sickness and try to make the best out of the past and try to teach people the beauty of science.
Hell yeah. Most people are saying go back in time and invest in Yahoo. But you come in with some great stuff. Hell yeah. All right, then let's get into this episode.
I mean, some would say that people still think science is witchcraft.
Yeah. Or lies, just
They also believe that the Earth's flat. Yeah. So,
it is. No, the Nicole, what do you believe in?
Ooh, girthy earthers.
Yeah.
I'm a part of the girthy earthers.
It's just a fickle earth.
Thick.
You picture the peach emoji, but then slap the globe on that.
Right, yeah.
You need to draw that up, Nicole. You could put that on Redbubble.
Well, it's not really my original idea. Like, okay. I coined girthy earthers, but like, the original, like, joke of the earth being thick is from Kevin.
Okay, well, give Kevin some money. He's going to need it. He's starting a compound. Commune? Not in a culty
way.
A compound with interest included.
All right.
Well, Nicole, what's your first note?
Ooh, baby. The assassin that we first see at the very beginning is just bad.
Yeah, should have shot him in the heart. It's a, what, two in the heart, one in the head?
Well, it's also like in the middle of the day in like an area where there are a lot of people.
With a like tiny handgun revolver, a six shooter. He doesn't have a mask on. He's not in the shadows. He runs up to them like less than 6 feet apart. They could get COVID from each other. And then just start shooting this man in the chest with six bodyguards around, one gun.
And lives. The person that they shot lives.
He lives. That is weird. I was noticing that too. I'm like, in the beginning, I'm like, so who's this guy? Because I'm like, okay. If he is an assassin, he's really freaking bad at his job.
Yeah.
Yuri was all on top of a, you know, building using a sniper, like an appropriate assassin too, right? Wearing black, hiding incognito. I think that the guy that shot he was the
president.
Co-founder, the president. I was going to say the co-manager or something of the company. And they tried to kill the president. But what makes no sense to me, and this is that, was he trying to get caught?
I don't know.
To reveal Abel.
No, because this is just a lowly level dude who we don't hear from ever again.
Huh. It threw me off. But then once I saw the whole idea behind giving a rose at the bar in order to get an assassin for your attempt, you could see that the other man that was sitting at the bar was a lot more prepared and self-reserved. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew how to be a hitman, obviously.
He might also not be a hitman. He might be, like, the manager. He I don't think that dude gets his little paws dirty.
Oh, he does. He's just the one that runs it.
Yeah.
Still, though, he needs to start, like, people that are – he needs to stop recruiting people that are idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Nicole was like, Yeah, you bring a rose and then you just get mistaken for a male sex worker. Have you guys ever paid for a good time?
No.
Bring a rose to a bar. I'm going to just test it out.
Yeah, try it. But by a good time, I'm saying you've never like gone to an amusement park or gotten a shaved ice. A good time. You can buy a good time. What did you think I meant?
Buy a good time.
You perv? Nicole's the biggest pervert I know. She sees her. She's folding her own laundry and is constantly getting nosebleeds.
Oh my God. The fuck? I was like, what?
Because it's your like your unmentionables.
Right, right.
I'm turned on by myself.
Oh, by underwear that's from a lady. Yeah.
My own underwear. Yeah. Though.
Why not?
Why not?
Okay.
It's an interesting life you guys live.
Yes, they believe me. The listeners do too. Nicole is a creep to them now. Not just me. My work here is done. See you guys later. It's
oh
just
my
you
God.
Two. Holly, be prepared to talk to a creep for 30 minutes.
Honestly, though, it's an honor to be on your show. I'm just going to tell you this now. For so long, I've been wanting... Hi, Mom. Sorry, my mom's... It's my mom. Say hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Hi, kid.
I'm on a podcast. Love you. I'm going to Colorado. And yeah. Mom's helping me. Yeah. Chose to stay here in my room for now because I've been kind of living outside the house. So, but like I said, it's an honor to be on your show. I've been, we've been talking like on and off about music for how long? Now, I remember when you started doing the Marshland Monster gimmick, and that was in...
It's not a gimmick. That
like
makes it
the Marshland Monster man that you are. You started that during the MySpace days, and that's actually you introduced me to Rozicael.
Yeah.
You were the one that introduced me to Rozicael. And look, I'm on Rozicael's team because I listened to her music as a kid. I used to go to her shows, and then here I am, you know, doing work with her. It's just amazing. Like here we are. How grown up we are now. You have your own podcast. I'm doing music. Look at how little town Muskegon people can do things. Look at us.
Yeah, and we succeed when we move out of that shithole. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That place is a black hole. Totally sucks you in, and then you get stuck there, and you end up getting pregnant.
But watch us go.
Watch us go. Shout out to everyone in Muskegon that's listening in. We love you guys. It's so nice to be here on the radio show with you, like I said. So I have a question for you.
What's up?
When was the day that you decided you wanted to be on a podcast and create your own podcast?
Oh, the first podcast I ever did was in 2012, I think.
Oh.
So after listening to Gelmania, I was like, this is comedy mixed with like the effects
Mania.
And feeling of horrorcore inside a podcast, but it was like humorous. It was comedy. I was like, this shit's dope. And then after listening to more and more, I was like, let me do it. Like hashtag who is hotter came out in like 2013. I would love to do that again, but there's just too much on my plate. And then after being stagnant with it for a long time, I was like, let's do this podcast thing. I can do it properly now. And
yes.
It's also it's more fun and easier than music. So, but still audio based.
Do you still do music?
Yeah, I've been doing music.
That's what I thought. I remember watching a video of Butt Ass Naked.
Yeah. Like, which one, I should ask?
The first one that came out, it was the huge shocker. Because, like, Rozzy, I sent it to her. I'm like, look at our boy.
Hell yeah. Was that the one that, like, it was close to me, then started zooming out to reveal
yes!
that I'm naked? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, this is a dude, like, rapping hardcore, very technical. And the joke, like, I was like, oh, the joke is that I'm, everyone in rap music, for the most part, is, like, so masculine. And they're like, oh, I would never... That's gay shit if you're naked. And it's like, I don't understand. So it's gay when you shower? Is that what you're saying? You guys are so weird. No, I'm in a goddamn bathing suit. That's why it's called a bathing suit. My deedle never hits the wind is what rappers would say. And so that was the joke. And then I realized, oh, when I'm naked on videos, they generally do better. So then I did another one where I'm fully naked, like fully naked from the get-go. There's no zooming out. And I'm just screaming at people from Muskegon because that's what my Facebook following is. And I'm like, hey, guys, I guess Facebook's algorithm likes it when I'm dick out. And then people actually pay attention to it.
I definitely caught my attention. Don't worry. It caught a lot of people's attention. Man.
It caught my grandmother's attention because she's like, oh, James posted a video. No. And then it just zooms out. I don't care, though. It's like, it's fine.
Now you have to do one where it's like the... It's just on your dick.
And then it zooms out. And then I guess I would have to be wearing like a Groucho Marx.
On your dick.
No, on like my... Well, you couldn't see it. It would be very hard to edit around that. I'd need like... I'd need to say like, hey, Melzer, could you do this for me?
You would just have to make the nose on it really big.
And make some eyes at the top where your pelvis is. You have to shave a little.
Okay. Oh, I'm clean shaven, straight razor.
You gotta get some googly eyes.
Oh, yeah. I could post it on Pornhub.
That shit unedited. People eat the fuck out of that shit.
Yeah. Oh, man, and then I'd be Pornhub famous like Ryan Creamer.
Yeah.
He's the guy who did it. He did, like, opening doors for women porn.
Yes, I know.
Well, I'm telling the other people. Out there,
I'm
Ryan
not
Creamer.
Brushed up on that history. So.
Oh, he's very funny. He was he worked for College Humor for a little bit as well.
Oh, now he's a porn star.
Oh, I mean, he's never been naked. And then, guys, check out Ryan Creamer. It's how it sounds is how it's spelled.
It's like it's not like actual porn. It's just him. Like it's like, oh, it's porn. It's funny because like. He's like doing the dishes or like, just like being a nice person.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He, I'm like, going to have to look him up.
Does the dishes and he's like, how was your day today? And then that's it. It's like a 5-second video.
And he makes money off of this shit.
Yeah. He started parading around because once you get like on YouTube, once you get, I think like, 100,000 subscribers, they send you like a golden YouTube plaque. Once you get a specific amount of views or subscribers on Pornhub and you're verified with a blue check, they send you a like Pornhub Letterman jacket. So he started like on Twitter, like just being in a like this sweet boy improv comedian from UCB is just repping his Pornhub. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's good.
That's good. I'm going to have to check him out, man.
Yeah. Subscribe to him. I don't think he still makes videos, though.
I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? What else do we got? Their chrono changers are, like, conspicuous and not covert
whatsoever. That's what I was
thinking
this episode, too. I'm like, they're so clunky.
Like, you can clearly see her sleeve is raised up, and if you catch it at the correct angle, you're like, what is under... Aren't we patting people down before they come in here?
Right. So I did think that their chrono changers were a little bit, like, wonky. Because you can't just remove it from their arm, right? I mean, doesn't Power Rangers have, like, it sends out a signal if it's been removed or broken?
No. I mean, in this case, I think it wasn't her changer that Abel smashed on the ground. I think it was just, like, a homing beacon, an emergency thing. But I feel like the chrono changer itself can't be removed because I think Tatsuya in like the first episode or so, yeah, they were trying to like get it off from him, but they were like, oh, once it's calibrated to your voice, it can only work. Also with V-Rex dude, Time Fire.
Right.
Oh, shit. See, I haven't watched the first episode. I don't know how the chrono changers work, but I just noticed that Abel did remove hers when he captured her. So in this episode, it kind of struck some type of like, oh, no, is there going to be like to be continued with this one?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking like, there's got to be some type of level to how are they going to find her? You know, because if that's like your tracking device, how are they going to find her? But what they did was pretty genius going back into the bar and then, well, I mean, not beating up the bartender because I didn't do shit, but you know, getting some answers, you know, and it's just like all playing out, like, what would you do in this situation? You know, if, let's say someone you care about has a phone tracker and then went missing, what would you do? You'd go to the last place that they went. So this is like, this goes back into what I was saying earlier. This is very relatable with other things. If you just put aside what they use and put it in comparison of what other people use on day-to-day basis, what would you do if someone you loved lost their phone and was taken captive? You go back to the same place that they you know, were last. And it kind of tracks down like all the other assassins. I only saw one assassin, though, and then you said that the guy that runs the assassination club is the guy in the white suit. I'm curious as to know who are the other assassins.
The Londres, probably, like, whenever one of their prisoners, which is what these people are, whenever they get captured, I think, like, that section of their mob group just faults, and they're like, we don't need to worry about this anymore. There's no
it's
one
not
to
my problem.
Yeah, like there's no one to manage it anymore, so we're not going to, we're just going to cut it loose.
That's probably why. I was like wondering, so it's assassination clubs. I was thinking that there's more assassins.
There probably are, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe for later episodes.
I hope there's more than, you know, that single guy who is bad at his job.
Right? Somebody that's a little bit more skilled at his trade.
Yeah, maybe that's why they were so quick to let Yuri in.
Because they're like, we need some fucking help.
No, they didn't let her in. Or no, yeah, they were. They yeah. were. Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
she said, Abel, I'm going to throw my hat at you.
Looked like a can of freaking aerosol, like hairspray in her face to control her mind. And that's the first time that she's ever asked for help. And she was saying that towards the end of the episode, that this is the first time she's ever asked for anyone's help. And you're right. Like, why weren't her guy friends like, men are so weird.
Yeah.
I swear to God, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, real life situations. If someone was really in that situation, something funny like that would happen. Cause I would have a bunch of guy friends that are like cracking jokes and saying that I'm pretty and shit. And like, that's why the guy captured me, instead of being like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be asking if she's okay. Like, she just had her mind controlled, and this dude's obsessed with her. She probably needs a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. That can that he's spraying the second time did look like a dildo or a vibrator. And I was like, they are mixing so much stuff here, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I'm like, what is that he has in his hand?
Someone from props was like, we need something really quick and on the cheap. And then someone's like, I got this from under my wife's bed.
It's a metal tube thingy. I don't know what it's used for, but it's fucking girthy.
Like the earth.
Like
the earth.
It gives a yeah. sense of like Mother Nature when you just have a thick old dildo, because the earth is girthy and
right.
Flat earthers like a nice, it's just practically putting a silicone ruler inside of them because they like a nice flat deedle. And then kind of like a, you know, one of those flat tapeworms.
Is it flexible?
Yeah, it's flexible. Okay. And
it's flexible.
Well, rulers aren't.
Well, no, it's silicone. That's why. Like, okay. I made sure to say it was like rubber, not just like, hey, it's one of those straight edged rulers with the little metal part in it.
With the metal part in it.
And then people who believe like the sun is the center of the earth and or the solar system and we revolve around that, I guess they, I don't know, have a normal dildo.
Okay.
But people who believe the earth is the center, they just focus on their yoni and then ejaculate.
I hate it.
Right.
My yoni is pure. My yoni is clean.
Give me a little bit of a background on Abel and his obsession with Yuri. So were they together at one point, or were they just friends?
Oh, no, they were just coworkers. He's never...
This is the first episode that he's been in. So, like, we know as much as you do.
Oh, wow. Guess I'll have to keep watching.
Oh, yeah, well, he doesn't come back. So, like, this is like a Monster of the Week thing. They're here for one episode, and then they never appear again.
Oh, that's like getting blue balls. Getting so close to climax, and then someone's just like, nope, done.
Actually, the true blue ball in this is that you see that they could make a toy of all these villains, because when they shrink down, they are a toy of themselves, but they never release toys of the villains.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I thought this monster design was cool.
Hell yeah.
I thought it did remind me a lot of Transformers, but I noticed also, because, you know, the time traveling, their ships are parked in a different time
era. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was super cool to watch them shooting through at the time, just sending out a signal and their ships come to them. But it's not just like, hey, it's parked down the street.
Yeah.
What's his
that
face?
That was pretty rad.
Time Fire, whenever like his V-Rex transforms, this means weekly he is causing an earthquake on small islands that rips the entire ground open, because that's what happens when he transforms.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Imagine how many people die.
Yeah.
Just from one fight. At the end, the action scene was epic. It reminded me of the, anyone that's seen the old Godzilla?
Yeah.
It definitely, because the landscaping that they did there, you could tell that they used lower angle with smaller buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was captured, like, I don't know if it was, like, green screened, but I don't know how, there's a technical term for it. I'm not a videographer. But what they did definitely reminded me of, like, the old school Godzilla, you know, with the small city scene and then the Transformer pretty much standing above all these buildings. But you can tell that, like, the buildings are, like, this small. They're little models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just really cool. It's really old school. I love it. I loved it so much.
Hell yeah. We love all Godzilla movies.
Did you see the new Godzilla?
Yeah.
Yeah, how was it? I haven't gotten to see it.
It's good.
Yeah, it was good.
In this trilogy of Godzilla, Godzilla King of the Monster, King Kong versus Godzilla, flip that around. It's its second. I think both Nicole and I agree. King of the Monsters number one, Godzilla versus King Kong, and then the first one from Legendary.
I don't know. I would have to see the first one again.
First one, I think, is just, I was like, that's good. I wasn't blown away by it, but I didn't hate it and I didn't not like it. I enjoyed it.
I remember loving it.
Whoa.
But it was like one of the very first Godzilla movies I'd seen. Because I remember seeing the Mutos come out or whatever. And then I turned to James and I was like, are they going to fight? And he was like, yeah, it's a Godzilla movie. And I was like so excited by it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're going to fight?
And it does have that iconic scene of him just ripping one of their mouths open and him just atomic breathing them from the inside out.
Nothing says romance except for a night on the couch with Godzilla movies, right?
Oh, this was in the theater.
Oh, you guys, oh, even more.
Yeah, back in 2014, baby.
Yes, yeah.
Aw, you guys have been together for how many years?
Just about 8.
Wow, you guys are almost married.
Yeah, Nicole. The bride to never be. Nicole doesn't want to get married, and I'm totally fine with that. I like just making the joke, but it has gotten out of hand because my mom was like, oh, his bride to never be, because she also listens. And then Nicole was like, okay, nope, you need to stop calling me that. And then our friends.
Now other people are getting involved.
Yeah. Because
totally get it.
Coming out of my mouth, it's a joke. But coming out of my mom's mouth could eventually be like, well, why aren't they married?
Yeah.
Even though my mom's not like that, though. She's fine with it.
Yeah.
She has grandkids from the other children. She knows I'll never be able to conceive.
She'll be okay with you doing your podcast and shit.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm definitely that kid. My big sister has a kid. My little sister has a boyfriend who definitely could see as a life mate one day. Me, I'm married to music. I don't have a boyfriend, no kids. That's just how it's going to be. But, like, you know, parents are going to have to accept that. You're doing your art. And that's what matters, you know? And you get to do it with someone you love, you know?
Yeah.
That's even more important.
Can't do music with Nicole, though, because I put just one delay on, and she's like, why is that delay on there, bro? It fills the space. It fills the space, Nicole.
It fills the space.
Your mom's happy with us just having a cat.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Cats are fine. I
just have one more note that I want to get to, and that is, I think we need to change incel to volcel, because incel means involuntarily celibate. Voluntarily celibate, because...
Well, then that's just celibate.
Well, no. It's because of how they act is the way that is the reason why women don't want to. So
yeah,
it's
you're
voluntarily being this way.
To change and be a better person.
Yeah. So incels are the guys who are like, oh, women suck that none of them want to fuck me. I just keep getting in the friend zone.
Oh, you mean the good guys?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So I say instead of calling them incels, we call them volcels because they are voluntarily doing it to themselves.
I mean, if you go on Facebook and you talk about how no one wants you and every good and all these girls that you talk to go to stupid guys, and maybe it's because it's you being stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're giving all this shit to a girl that only likes you as a friend. Don't give so much.
Yeah.
Or how about this? Date people that are your type, not people that are going to give you status. Date people that are worthy of your actual personality, not people that are just pretty and watered down with personality, you know? And that's the issue, is that guys are like, all these girls don't want me. It's like, probably because she ain't your type.
Right,
she wants a douchebag because she doesn't have, like, the mind power.
Or probably because you just suck. Like, that could also be it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a touchy subject, because I know that there's some women that I care about that just date idiots. I am I'm a victim of this shit as well. But, you know, we all, whether you're woman or man, transgender, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone's felt that, you know, don't single yourself out because you look like a douchebag.
You know? Yeah.
Because no one gives a fuck, especially on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, don't try to get people to pity you because no one cares.
Yeah. Like, if you're going on Facebook ranting about shit, like how this girl you were talking to ended up dating another guy. Yeah. People will feel bad for you. But at the same time, they're going to look at you like, Jesus, I wonder how he's like if he's like this without having a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What is he going to be like if he has a girlfriend? Is he going to be controlling? And like obsessed, or is he going to be like insecure and not let his girl go anywhere because he's afraid that she's going to, you know, meet someone else? Like, this shit all goes hand in hand. I've noticed that there's just too many people that are insecure nowadays, and they run to Facebook for guidance. The worst place you could ever go.
Yeah.
Worst place.
A better place is like
a therapist.
Oh, I was going to say Yahoo Answers is better. The Faygo Lovers Forum is better. And that place is a cesspool.
Even talking to your friends is okay, but why are you publicizing?
Yeah.
You know, people want to make it a cry for help, but it makes you look like a total douchebag. Mm-hmm. It totally makes you look like a chode. You're like, okay. you bitch and complain that you can't get a girl. I'm just not feeling sorry for you, because most nice guys, what they really want, they'll act like they want just a friendship from you, and then last minute flip the switch and be like, I want to date you.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want that. Like, that's where those good guys come in, and they bitch and complain about how a girl didn't want to be with them when she had no idea that they even liked him.
Nicole, am I a nice guy?
Yes.
Yes. Nicole only dates men who... into their 30s, their penis is still growing.
God damn it, James.
Any more notes? Because I think we should start wrapping up. Before we get to our last question for Holly.
I don't know. I liked how Yuri, like, when the fight ended, was the one to be like, time up. Because it was just like, yeah, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like, bye.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
She's probably traumatized, you know? It's traumatizing for her.
Yeah. Her friends should have been there for her, but they absolutely were not.
Well, I mean, these guys that are, you know, on her, she's obviously the only girl. So it's inevitable that if you're a pretty girl and you're working with a bunch of men are going to obviously start coming on to you. it's what happens. But you also need friends that if you're working with them, they're going to have your back. And I felt like there was no comfort towards the end for her.
Yeah.
I feel like at least like Sion should have been like, hey, are you okay? Like they're in the background like making jokes and she's just like solemnly looking out a window.
Right. Talking about how hot she is. And she's like, I don't ever want to ask for help again.
It would have been, so there's a character that I don't think we see in this episode called Time Robata, and it would have been funny if he just started saying therapy time, because all he's kind of like an alarm clock or a reminder, and it's just like whatever that reminder or alarm is followed by time, and it would be or like help your friend time. Tok should have been like, hey, do you need help? Or Tok should have said, hey, you should probably help your friend.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a robot. I don't have emotions.
I don't know if it's just the difference in culture that we have here in America. But definitely, maybe they're trying to make it funny. Like, end it on a funny note.
Yeah.
But she flipped him over at the end.
Well, I think it's...
Like, fuck you.
It's... This was in the year 2000, so I think that's the issue. I bet even if it was, we see all the time, like, Ayase has a heart condition that one of them knows about, but even he isn't, like, constantly, like, checking in and being like, hey, is your heart doing good? Or telling the other friends of, like, hey, our friend has a heart condition that's debilitating, and in, like, when he gets stressed, which could happen in battle, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There should be a little bit more comfort.
Yeah.
In that episode, I felt like it was funny because towards the end, you know, she's like, fuck you guys, and flipped him over. It definitely ended the show on a more like, okay, well, they're just friends. They're fucking around, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, when she's looking out the window, I felt something. I'm like, man. I mean, and it's a little relatable because, you know, a lot of people that are independent and stuff, and a woman that's on a team full of men is a very independent woman.
Yeah.
Because, like, she has a power that those guys look up to, you know? And for someone being as independent as she is and then asking for help, it must have been really hard for her because she doesn't like asking for help, you know? And then once she did, it was like... She doesn't want it to become a joke. She wants someone to actually, to confide in after all that. She just looked really sad towards the end, saying that she never asked for help. And it had the flashback of her holding the trigger and shaking with the gun because it was definitely a traumatizing moment for her. It was very traumatizing. And then it flipped. And then they're all making comedy at the end. I'm like, are we just going to forget the fact that just like had an obsessive coworker try to like, take over her mind.
Hey guys, this is a tip for everyone. If you see a friend of yours just staring out the window and they don't have a coffee mug in their hand, you should probably ask them how they're feeling.
You should, just in case.
After you save them from a traumatic situation.
Well, especially that.
Yeah.
But even if just someone is staring out the window blankly,
sure,
something might be going on. They're thinking about something.
Yeah.
Or unless they're, you know, like a car alarm's going off and they're staring out that. If it's just nothing's going on in the day, it's just a street, no traffic. Something's wrong.
Definitely.
Holly, we ask this every single episode. The Launderes is this mafia group, and each person, each prisoner who comes out from this freeze compression, we see what their crime was, and they give them their, like, name or alias. If you were a Launderes, what would your crime be, and what would your specialty of crime, and then what would your name be?
All right, so what would I do?
Smoking weed.
You could definitely call me something that's weed related because I would probably enter a room and gas everyone out. You know how Poison Ivy, when she breathes, she can send out and make everyone bleed, like mind control them with her,
mm-hmm,
her kissing and everything. But like my weed smoke, that's a
hell
good idea.
Yeah.
My weed smoke would intoxicate people to follow me. So I'd have mind control over just everyone. I would turn mass media around and I would cancel culture, and I would take down Wall Street if I was a criminal. I would take it all down. I'd take down big government. That would be my, I'd be a criminal for that. That's the only thing I'd ever be a criminal. I would never take any harm out on a regular citizen, though.
Hell yeah.
Only those big guys that are thieves and that take from innocent people that are starving. So I would technically be like a vigilante, not so much a hero, but somebody that also borders in between being a hero and the villain.
Okay, so then you, the Launderers would not like you then, because they are trying to be a mob boss of, you know, like, hey, we're going to scare you into paying us type deal. So
yeah, but we've had
people who rebel against them. Yeah. So yeah,
so like, I guess it's more how would the Launderers use her crime knowledge for their gain?
I think this would be a perfect episode where the Launderers ask the Time Ranger, like they kind of team up to be like, hey, we need this person out of here. Because technically you would be committing crimes, yeah, even though they're like for the good of the betterment of the world. And then the Launderers, right, would be like, not committing the crime we want.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Cat. Sox is cracking me up right now.
It's okay.
Or I could just fake it till I make it. Get in with them, be in good blood with them, get my connections by being cool with them, get information off of them, and you still help them, but slowly find a way out.
Oh,
so that I can use all the information that I got from them.
This would be a great, like, mid-season. You think, hey, the Launderers, they're the bad guy, they're the big bad. But then mid-season, there's a flip. Holly's now the bad guy. That would be dope.
Yeah.
I have two quick follow-ups. One, what would your strand's name be? And is that an indica or a sativa?
Oh, yeah, definitely a sativa. We're going to keep everyone awake.
Oh, ooh, I'm scared of sativa.
Oh, I love sativa. That's my favorite. It would be a hypnotic headband.
Hell yeah. We did it again, Nicole.
Yeah.
Another successful episode in the bag. Holly, what you got to plug?
You can find me on all digital outlets. I have two albums released, Wake Up, my first EP that was released 2 years ago. You can find that on all digital streams. And my most recent album called Hibernate, which is a prequel to my first album. It goes more in depth of Wake Up. Now, if you're a versatile listener, you're definitely going to like this because it's all different styles of music. I don't have one select genre. That's what sets me apart in this horrorcore scene.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find me on any social media platform, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And I'm in the process of making a Patreon, so.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
What's going to be on that Patreon?
I'm going to be releasing a new music video here soon, so that's going to be exclusive on my page, as well as new promo videos and upcoming events for HB the Grizzly. That means in and out of state shows. I have a lot of good things coming for the next 6 months. So I want everyone that's listening to keep their eyes open and their ears open as well, because we have a lot of great things for Shrunken Head Entertainment coming this way.
From that Patreon, how much of a cut is Razakel going to see?
We still have
to. I was not really wanting a real answer from that. That was a classic James joke.
It's okay. I don't think, usually Razakel, she's just really helpful. And as us being on Shrunken Head Entertainment, we're a team, so we don't take anything from each other. They don't get profit from anything. We just help each other out.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's what really brings us together. We're not brought together by the greed of money. We're brought together by unity and believing in each other's dreams. So that's what sets us apart from a lot of underground, you know, labels or groups, or we're a team. We're not paper.
Friggin' shout down the people who you think are suck. Just be
ICP,
like,
bro.
Murder House Records, get out of here. Kill Yourself Productions, get out of here. Guess what? You're already out of here. Oh, friggin' Lyrical Snuff. How about you snuff yourself, bros? Oh man, Strange
LSP.
Music. Be a strange-o somewhere else. I'm grasping at straws. Graveyard Productions, a defunct for a long time record label stationed out of Muskegon. Get fucking bent. Who else? Who else? SoCo
we
Killers.
We get it.
Chronic Wig Splitters. You done.
I love all people. I love Murder House. I love LSP.
Magic Ninja Entertainment. Your time is up.
I love Psychopathic.
Bedlam. Pfft, what is this, 1999? Get the fuck out of here. KGP? More like... kill your fucking self instead of God's people. I'm grasping at straws, guys. I got to bring up the Horrorcore Wiki, which I was finally added to. Hurrah. Please.
Yes, shout out to Frank.
Hell yeah. Also, shout anyone who's like, wow, James, I was clearly able to pull that many names from the Horrorcore scene. I'm a fan. Don't come at me saying, fuck me. I was obviously joking.
I know. Oh, my God. I know you have so much love for Murder House. That's actually the last time I saw you.
Yeah.
Is that Silence After Dark?
Where people did not understand what we were doing.
That's okay. Burquest was there, too.
Yeah. That was the we I was talking about. I was going to say, Tyler, what you got to plug? Nicole, what you got to plug?
Wow. I am at Darling Homebody on all the social medias. Go to darlinghomebody.com to get creepy cute stuff that I make. I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/darlinghomebody for a monthly sticker or magnet. Also, I'm on Twitch drawing stuff. I think that's all of it.
What about this Saturday, May 22nd?
Oh, fuck. Well, I didn't know if this was going to be out before then.
Nicole, it's out on the 20th, obviously.
Cool. So, Saturday, May 22nd, 2021, we're having another Darling Homebody Shopping Network. It's going to be through Facebook Live, so... you could just go to facebook.com/darlinghomebody and then click on like events and that will be there. And then just like say going and it'll remind you or whatever. And it'll just be on that page. It's basically a release party for the magical girl mugs that I've been working on. But everything in my online store is going to be 20% off. And then there's going to be like a shit ton of free stuff. So...
maybe a Hunks and His Punks coloring book.
No.
Yeah, it's too big. It's clunky. But we got to get him out of here. Guys, go over to patreon.com/MLMpod to get exclusive podcasts every single Friday, like the aforementioned Talking About Beyblade. We also got Engaged with Nicolas Cage, the Toku Reading Corner, and the Podcast That Be. You get all that for $5. And if you're a $10 patron, not only do you get exclusive streams and watch-alongs, we've done Casper, we've done Meet the Deedles, Frighteners, and Inspector Gadget, but you also get shout-outs on every single friggin' free feed podcast. So let's begin, starting with Steve F. Next up, we have Eric Berry of Ranger Command Power Hour, Alex Z, a.k.a. The Waz, Orion, he was the guest on last week's episode, Kayla, a.k.a. Two Grapes, Duo Grun Fox, that's two fox for the price of grun, Tyler Wright, Elliot W., who is at Garlic Sunshine on Instagram, check out their art, and Jordan B., the Chaos Witch. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Holly, again for being on the show and dealing with what we do.
Always. It was an honor.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I've been James.
I'm Nicole.
And I am HB the Grizzly.
And we've been Mostly Speaking Sentai. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Man, I can fight, I can hide, I hear their laughter. Tumble to my death and fall so they can love me after. Don't care for me now, but say they did later. Manic inside, a manic inside. And I'm on the edge, I'm looking down. Feeling worthless, used up, these thoughts they pound. And I'm in my head, I
I'm breaking down. Feel like I'm so lost, like I just won't be found. And I know what's right, but don't know what's wrong. All I know is I feel so numb. I'm done, you know it's been a very long time. It's time you motherfuckers realize. Not the same girl, jealous, impulsive, hopeless, and broken up, care for me now, but say they did later. Manic inside, a manic inside. Manic inside, I can hide, I hear their laughter. Tumble to my death and fall, so they can love me after.
This has been a Marshland Media production, produced by James McCullum. For more content, please visit mlmpod.com. To support our network and have access to exclusive podcasts, head over to patreon.com/mlmpod and sign up today.